This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. Oh, yeah, just a little different rhythm sometimes, right? Sometimes we get out of bed and the rhythm is just different that day. Sometimes it's better, sometimes it's slower. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Well, a couple weeks ago, I did a message called The Faithful One, and today's message is The Servant. And as I talked about the faithful one, I read from Matthew 25, the parable of the talent. And in there, when the Lord came back and was talking to the first two, he said, "Well done, good and faithful dude." No, he didn't say that. He said, "Well done, good and faithful what?" Servant. Well done, good and faithful servant. And we are called to be faithful servants. And oftentimes you hear it said at funerals, "Well done, good and faithful servant," as they enter into the presence of the Lord. But we are to be good and faithful servants in our living years also. Amen? Man, I love that. Well done, good and faithful servant. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read this one verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, and it says this: "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Oh, good grief. Now, there's another reminder. Not only is it bad enough we have to serve others, but we have to do it, what? Oh, my gosh. With love and through love and by love and because of love. But through love, serve one another. Now, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20. We're going to be in two scriptures, Matthew chapter 20 and then 2 Timothy a little later, chapter 2. But Matthew chapter 20 right now. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 20 is where it starts. Or is where I'll be starting. And it's something we've heard before. We should be familiar with it. It says, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him," Jesus, "with her sons," come on boys, come on, we're going to talk to Jesus, come on, "took them down there, and then kneeling down, she asked something of him." Boys, you might as well kneel also. Let's get on our knees here before the Lord. "And Jesus said to her, 'What do you wish?' And she said to him, 'Grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and one on the left hand, in your kingdom.' And then Jesus answered, and Jesus said, 'You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?' And they said to him, 'We are able.' So he said to them, 'You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father.'" Man. It says, "When the ten heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself." Now imagine at this point the mom's going, "Come on, I knew this wasn't going to work." And drags them off. But the other ten heard it and they're upset and they're displeased. It'd be like, "My mom made me do it. She drugged me there." "He called them to himself and he said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them.'" Verse 26, "Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Right there, Jesus gave great instruction and great information.
Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. And then the information, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Church, that is our instruction. Jesus himself says, man, I didn't come to be served, but to serve others. If we truly want to be his disciple, we are to be what? His ambassador, his representative, his likeness. Then what do we have to do? We have to imitate him. We have to be like him, and we have to serve like him. You cannot be somebody's representative if you're misrepresenting them. Well, you can be their representative. It won't last long. And you'll have a distorted view of who Jesus is. And I feel like there are a lot of people, I'm not talking about you all, I'm talking about out in the world, there's a lot of people that are misrepresenting Jesus. They're misrepresenting him. Turn now to 2 Timothy chapter 2. But how and why do they misrepresent? How they don't know enough about him. They haven't read everything. Oh, they've decided to cherry pick what things they will follow and listen to and abide by. He says in different parts of the scripture, those who follow my commandments. We talked Wednesday night, they will know my disciples by their fruit. Well, that tree looks like it's growing a bunch of stones on it. That's not good fruit. Well, you see, we use that for picking and throwing at people. And they say, it's our fruit. That's how we get people's attention. Christ says, I don't need people getting my attention for the wrong reasons. He calls us to love our neighbors. That's fine and dandy. Until you have the world's worst neighbor, you know. Then what does he call us to do? Love your neighbor. Well, they're not my neighbor, actually. They're my enemy. Oh, he also calls us, love your enemy. You see, he's covered those bases. By telling you what? To love others. As he first loved us. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2. It starts out in verse 14 is where we'll start. And it says, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of hearers. Okay, now my heading talks about approved and disapproved workers. So we've got to understand, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit. Don't just talk nonsense for the sake of talking nonsense. Words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. It's a turnoff. He says we are to be the sweet aroma of Christ. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings. I better read that again in case someone online is watching that needs some help. Okay. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. Have integrity in the things that you do, the things you put your hand to, the things you put your name on. Rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings. For they will increase to more ungodliness. I can tell you, when you hang around people whose language isn't quite right, and by that I mean vulgar language, little by little you'll start talking like them. they more than likely are not going to start talking like you. Now, if you speak up and say, hey, that's offensive to me. Hey, can we use some other words instead of those words? Then they might have an awareness. But you will be drawn to their language more than they'll be drawn to yours unless you speak up. You know, I interviewed a guy the other day for a position at work. And we talk about, you know, doing our work as owing to the Lord. And he sat there and we were talking about a schedule. And he said, well, first and foremost, he said, I'm accountable to God and I want you to know that up front. I said, well, as a pastor, I can appreciate that. I said, working on Sundays was a deal breaker for me. They told me or asked me, is that a deal breaker? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. He let it be known who and what he was and what he was about. Now, some people have done that and turned out to be horrible people, but this person wanted to get that out in the open. Hey, here's who and what I am, and first and foremost, God is my boss, and I work for him. I said, you absolutely do, and so do I, and so does everyone else. Not everybody knows it, though. That's a secret to some of them out there. And it says, and there, verse 17, and their message will spread like cancer. Uh-oh, we don't want that. And it says, Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who have strayed concerning the truth. They knew the truth, but they have strayed from it, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Verse 19 says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows those who are His. And I love that He knows who are His. Right here, as a matter of fact, we sang that earlier. My name is graven on His hands. My name is written on His heart. I know that while in heaven He stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. The Lord knows those who are His. And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Flee from sin. Stay away from it. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Now listen carefully. Some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Well, I love that. We're preparing ourselves. We're making ourselves useful in the kingdom. Useful for the master. Prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Again, in case someone online is watching that needs some help. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Now listen to this. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. It tells us right there, we have to look beyond our own interests and beyond our own desires, and we have to look towards and to the needs of others. We have to find the heart of Jesus. My name is written on His heart. I need to find the heart of Jesus and what He's about. What does He desire of me? What did I do this last week to be better than I was the week before? I want a faith that sticks in 26.
I want a faith that is greater than it was last year. I want a journey that is more rewarding than it was last year.
I want a journey that is worthy of calling myself a Christ follower. Christ ambassador, His representative.
Everything I did today, did it represent Christ in His attitude, in His character? What about yesterday?
And by the way, the answer is already no for me. And I'm sure for some of you the answer is no. It is a challenge sometimes.
Well, I wasn't the devil though, that's for sure.
Well, nobody said you got to be one or the other. But He draws us to be more like Him and mature in Him daily. Renewing of the mind daily. Drawing close to Him so that He can draw close to us. Avoiding these things. We say things like, well, I didn't do that, and they were worse than me, and they use this language all the time. I just use it every now and then when I smash my thumb with a hammer. When a driver pulls out in front of me, that's when I talk like that, but not all the time. Not everyday language. Well, great, sounds like we've mastered most of it, but not all of it. As I said a couple weeks ago in The Faithful Servant, it's those areas that we're not faithful in. There's certain aspects that we are not fully faithful. Lord, I'll open my heart up to You, except for this little chamber up here. I want to keep that to myself. I'll open up my mind to You, but I want to keep this little segment of the brain just for my own thoughts. But the church isn't going to know about it. They're not going to hear about it. YouTube's full of people that thought people would never find out their deep, dark secrets. And by the way, they're policemen, they're pastors, they're youth pastors, they're heads of banks. We were sitting one Wednesday night, I think I mentioned this a couple months back, and Jim and I were talking. And I said, it was very interesting. I read something about a high-up official in a rural Oklahoma bank who'd ripped off the bank hundreds of thousands of dollars. And then I was reading another story, and I'm like, I think I already read this. I'm like, oh, good grief. No, it's two different banks, two different people. All roughly the same age, except the other one was $1.5 million that they stole from the bank. Oh, and by the way, they stole from their own sister as well and cheated her out of her money. These are people in positions of authority that just got off track somewhere. We may be off track. But I'm telling you, when we serve others, and when we do it in love, and through love, and because of love, and by love, that changes us. It changes our attitude. Selfish people have a hard time serving others. And when you serve others, that takes the focus off you. And that takes the focus off your selfishness. You know, you talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, at the very end, they save the best for last. Self-control. Oh, rats. I could do some of these other things, but that self-control was a toughie. By the way, since my Funyun incident of not grabbing healthy food, I've done much better in my choices. And why? Because I really thought about that. I thought, I was so weak in that moment that I couldn't grab some healthy snacks. And I grabbed a bag of Funyuns. And you know why I grabbed it? Because it was right there at the front counter, quick and easy. The others, I had to wander the aisles, and then it was just choices. And that's our challenge, and that's our downfall every day, is we have too many choices out there. We have to restrict what we're exposing ourselves to. And then we have to practice that self-control and that patience and get out of the our mindset and get others focused. Wednesday night Bible study, we're going through Starting Point, talking about the basics of prayer of faith and our faith in general and our church. And we were talking about different expressions of worship. And I said, can anyone think of anything else? And Kisha brought up a great point. She said, what about serving? Well, I love it. Serving is absolutely an expression of worship. And, you know, then I thought, okay, worship. We think worship is just music when we're playing and singing. No, worship is so many other things. But in general, worship is an expression of honor and reverence and devotion to God, prioritizing God above all else. Above all else. Susie was playing I Exalt Thee during an offering. God, I exalt Thee. Above what? Above all others. Prioritizing God above everything else. And serving others, we worship God. And when we serve others in love, through love, and because of love, it helps get us off our will and gets into His will and His desires for us. And then all of a sudden, we're allowed to be used as vessels in His house. For what? For good works. He will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart, and useful for the Master, prepared for every good work. Adam, I really don't want to work. Well, I heard on the radio yesterday, the guy said, man, we're to serve Him until we take our last dying breath. He doesn't say, serve me for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. This isn't politics. This isn't city government. There's no term limits until we're face to face with Him. He calls us to serve Him. To be used as a vessel of honor. Sanctified, set apart, and useful for every good work. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much today, Lord, for the message of serving others. God, we thank You for the example that You gave us in serving others. God, I pray for those of us that may be focused on ourselves, Lord, that we're pulled into a direction that serves You, that honors You by serving others. God, that we open ourselves up and ask for ways that we can serve others. God, that we look for those opportunities. God, help us be examples of Your love, Your character, Your servant attitude. Adding value to the life of others through service. God, help us to be faithful ones. God, today there may be people here that just say, Lord, I'm stagnant. I'm stuck in a rut. And I'm still moving forward, but I can't veer off this path because the ruts are too deep. And I just need a hand getting out of this rut and laying some fresh tracks for You. There may be others here that are needing prayer for direction, prayer for healing. God, what You put on my heart, though, is there are people here that need rest. They don't need sleep, but they need rest. And they need rest in You. Can I invite you up to the front and allow us to pray for you if any of those areas hit you? Just go ahead and come forward at this time. As we stand and sing this song, if you need prayer, come forward and allow the pastors to pray for you, others to pray for you. If you want silent prayer, feel free to come up here and just pray. But I'm just calling you to prayer through boldness.